Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, November the 19th, 2013. This is hour 209 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Sharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. Well, hello. Welcome back. It's sun's going down here, but I know on Maui the sun is high in the sky.
Yes, it still is. No eclipses today.
Yeah, well, so we, so have you been looking at ISON, the comet, Michael?
Haven't been able to look at it with my binoculars yet, yeah. Effort I made wasn't very good because ended up at the top of Haleakala. There was clouds too.
There were clouds up there also?
Yeah, it just was one of those times where
Even
those, that place is just built up with observatories. You got so many different kinds of telescope. In fact, they're building a new one to observe the sun. So, you know, and of course, people know about the other one with the Air Force. They look for foreign bodies, asteroids, that famous one up there. There's so many, but I just happened to pick a day that I didn't see a thing.
Yeah, I've been up there when it was totally overcast, and I was actually disappointed because I was getting up there for sunrise, and it's like, oh, darn, it was overcast. But it was the most beautiful sunrise through the clouds.
Oh, yeah. Well, this sunrise on that day was essentially very, very wet and windy and cold. So, yeah. You know, people were trying to get up to the summit to look at the sunrise, and I couldn't even see 10 feet in front of my car. They'd run in front of me, and I go, "Oh my goodness! Lucky I'm only going 2 miles an hour." I was cruising up on the road to get to my position, my radio site, and that was happening. So slowly because the visibility was so bad. A crowd up there at about maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad. I was hoping the cloud would move away. And it did, but it was already sunny.
Well, anybody going to Maui for a vacation or for a trip, that's one of the highlights, to go up on top of the mountain, up on top of Haleakala.
A lot of people ride down on bicycles. And it's a real experience if you do. Wonderful view.
Yeah, I bet it. Yeah. I bet that would really be nice.
Oh, the air is fantastic. You know, just breathing the air up there is something else. At 10,000 feet is thin air, but it's still good, clean air.
Well, look how far San Francisco is away. That's the closest place that pollutes the islands of
Hawaii. We've got fog, volcanic haze.
Oh, well, that's natural.
Yeah, but it's still full of toxic stuff, too.
It's hard to breathe that stuff.
Oh, it causes a lot of problems because it has some of it. Sometimes it has a lot of pumice and it really irritates people's lungs.
Yeah, it's the sulfur smell I remember. Wow.
Yeah.
Not on Haleakala, but I mean not on Maui, but on the Big Island where it's still flowing over there.
Yeah.
Since 1983.
Yes. I have Tadaktik Sharun, who says he would take this time if you would let him.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So. Hello.
Hello.
This is Theotaraktik Sharun. I am here to give you any information you please. And to most of this time, I will be able to speak freely.
Oh, good. We had one of our listeners from New Zealand write in, and she was hoping you would comment. So while you're here, Sharon, I'll start with Wendy in New Zealand. She writes, "Dear gents, I know this finds you all well and blessed in the abundance of peace, joy, and love. In our 206, we were given the invitation to inquire into the attainment of knowledge of the time Krondeldex force organizers, whom hold the key to unlocking the time special gate. The Sharon explained this to be their own method of traversing the vast universe. The Sharon also explained that we are, as such, currently locked in a pen or corral, similar to sheep in a pen corral, awaiting the shepherd to open the gate for the sheep to roam freely. If I understand correctly, the time Krondeldex force organizers are the shepherds and developed Maurantia souls are gifted the ability to traverse the universe freely. I have so many questions which may seem elementary, but I am in essence in kindergarten. So please forgive me if my question may seem somewhat childlike. Could the Sharon please explain if they are directing us toward the actual ability to time gate and essentially travel to them in our current mortal bodies, just as you did? Or are they directing us toward the point of contact with the higher order time Krondeldex force organizers that we will interact with as part of our future Maurantia career? Oh, how the undiscovered excites me. With great love and blessings to all, Wendy," and Wendy's from New Zealand.
Yes, Wendy. The time gate methodology you seek to understand must be understood from the perspective of the absolutes. What we have been trying to share is that the fact that the universe is organized beyond those that are under the watchful eye of the absolutes, the Father, Son, Spirit organizes according to what you be able to embrace as personality enlightenment. The universe is filled with the essence of love. Yet, in the construction of the universe, the absolutes have their place. They are pre-personal. They are not of the same as you would consider a person, personages, or deity, or divinity. They rather are much more aligned to universal law, universal structure, and realities. Therefore, the absolutes are the key. In the understanding and arrangement of the absolutes were first organized by the Father Creator. Therefore, when you come forward with this idea of understanding or finding the revelation, it is better that you approach the personality circuits that we want you to understand than the non-personal circuits of the absolutes. Your science, through its experimentation in physics, desires the attainment of wisdom through engagement with the absolutes. The absolutes will only show themselves to through a prescribed manner that has been dictated not by them, but by the Father first. Therefore, your revelations to the understanding of the methodologies that create the gateways, time gating, the chronodex themselves are all under the pre-design and inspiration of the first source and center. Your discoveries that you shall be making into the absolutes of reality structure that you engage with, will be found eventually. But before they are, in order that the universe retain its structure, you must engage in the embrace of the divine and understand how much the divine embraces back to you. Therefore, do not be overly anxious in your own motive or your own free technology in which to engage in the universe without full understanding of the divinity absolutes. You will find yourself very limited and perhaps even crippled in your attainment of knowledge. You see, your problem of engagement is that your transition into the higher dimensions are always linked back to the structure of your reality. But your reality structure, all that is really prescribed by the absolutes. It is organized by the absolutes. When you attain higher realm knowledge, you will be able to look upon the domain in which you are right now as you would look upon a sheet of paper from your perspective. In other words, you must first engage in higher dimensional understanding. And it is best to get this higher dimensional understanding first through engagement with the Father fractal, the divine image within you. And by doing so, your perspective will be opened up and your traversal of both time and space will be unlimited. For the guidance system to be made by permission through the divine image within you to virtually extend your realm of feel, of sensory abilities past your locale. I would say this. We desire to point you to another position, one which has been rapidly accelerating in our preparation. Grand and expansive and great technologies have been put in place that your physical mortal bodies will be able to engage with the higher realm realities through real and true relationship with us. Your physical being, in some cases, will be maintained for that precious information held within your bodies, able to house the divinity assigned, the divinity personality. But it is not the end. It is the beginning only. Because from there, many of you who are first encased in physical form will be liberated, and because of that, your ability to be able to fulfill a fuller expression of life will be liberated, which includes time. For us who use already time gating as a means for manipulating the universe about us in our travel, we can and do encase your mortal structure, but we will be those. There are others who will use lower level technologies, but not as we do, for we function at a realm which is higher. You do have cousins, those that are and have used other more primitive relationships in understanding the Absolute's organization and have made their introduction into your planetary realm in interference to the full plan of your personal ascension. I say personal in because each and every one as an individual in the billions of you who do exist upon the planet have more than an existence, but a destiny much higher than the realm of your planet. Much, much, much of the universe, in fact, most of it, structure which you observe, is void of your kind. And even we, elders and old ones, are few in comparison to what is continuously being built throughout. Your destiny is to engage your planetary origin is truly special. Now it is my hope to point you to some things. The one who I speak through gives mind through help you place yourselves in the location of time governance. Take this time governance, this time point, seriously. It finds itself within the scriptures of the book of Revelation. In there is a hint of where we stand right now in the engagement between ourselves and you. If you look into the book of Revelation, chapter 7, you'll realize that there is a special number of those who will be sealed, marked, chosen, whatever you would want to call it. But those that by our engagement will touch, choose, embrace, collect divine specimens of you. In other words, special ones. In there, you would realize that planetary wide, there will be the physical embrace. Yes. The encasement of physical beings for higher mortal destinies. And also, you will also understand that there is a higher realm at which the next level of perspective will be engaged. The perspective of looking upon your mortality as a lesser reality. Presently, much of you will look upon your mortality as the primary reality. But soon you will engage it as only a secondary, and the primary, fundamental, higher, real living domain will be expanded to even include engagement with us, who will help you to ascend the realm of divinity toward full attainment. The answer to your question is, we will hold the secrets of the universe, engagement and travel, and time gating for a while. When you ascend to the higher levels, where you no longer need our helping hand, you will have attained the higher divinity to fully populate the universe in its glorious state of light and sentient life. Engage as divinity expands itself far beyond. Your relationship will not be with the absolutes. The absolutes will be an understood fact. Your relationships will be with all of those divine, especially with your first. Engage, therefore, understanding the stages that you're in right now are soon to extend itself back to you, to reality, so that you will know that that point in which you stand right now is soon to take the higher step, one form or another. There is a small number, yes, mentioned. It is 144,000. It is a small number, but an immeasurable number of you will be known. Not an immeasurable number by our standards, but by yours. For the vastness of those who will engage with us in the higher realms will be innumerable. I, Theotaraktik, have spoken. You can call me Ted.
Thank you, Ted. Can I ask you Could I ask you to verify something, Ted? What you said?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
You said that the universe is going to hold these secrets of this time gate travel for a while?
We will hold it from you for a while. We possess it. One of the secrets that we hold is in the very fact of what we are bringing you up from. That is, you will be able to be immortalized, resurrected, you might say, given life forever. Yes, we hold that. Which is also that part of the inclusion of time gating. That is why you shall be known as you are known.
So when you say that we will possess this in the future, just not right now, are you referring to the people who are listening to you right now, or our grandchildren?
You.
Oh, good.
But you may not be in your mortal robe.
I see. So after my mortal role departs, we'll still be involved in this universal time gate time travel.
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting, and it's so it sounds like something we can look forward to after the end of our mortal bodies.
Oh, no. You have got an error. It is something you enjoy right now. Your mortal body, in many ways, cannot experience fully. You must realize that the capacity to move is not limited to the encasement of your mortal body. How do you think I speak to you? Am I limited? No. I have a friend who loaned me his consciousness and made room that I may speak, as I do with him. Therefore, we have an engagement that transcends space. Time also. There are times that the future is aware to us, and we will warn.
Now, the last thing you just said, we will what? We will warn?
Yes, we will warn those that hear.
I see. Well, we hear you, and we understand what you say, and it's wonderful that you spent time with us and come through Michael and share your understanding with us, because that's what we are looking at for this higher level of understanding than where we are now. And we all appreciate you making it clear to us what this is about. Now, before you go, could I ask you to listen to what Kathleen had to say? She's from Kentucky. She writes about this comet coming, this ISON. Hello, Michael and Curtis, and I know she means and Sharon. If you all get a chance, please look at this video. And she gives the video by Stephen Hennard from the UK. And in the video, it shows these two beautiful crop circles. And the crop circle Sharon we can discuss, but she says, I watched it this morning and it gave me quite an impression. This crop circle that is shown in the video, and I will have this on the listen page to see this, these two images. She continues and she says, was one of the first crop circles that I ran across on the internet back in 2009 when I first started this journey. This one appeared shortly after the one above. And she shows another one, and then she says, and I think that they are connected. The symbols in the first one are very intriguing, and I was wondering if the Sharons would comment on these crop circles and maybe their connection to Comet Ison. And she closes by saying, blessings to you and your families and to our wider family out there. You enrich my life so much with your thoughts and care. Love and joy, Kathleen.
Well, Kathleen, I have been made aware through the consciousness of Michael. Easily to understand what you have said is true. Yes, they are connected to Ison. And if you will notice, they are a warning. The activities are twofold. The first one that you have placed shows a cometary body, yes, Ison, if you want to call it, gaining a force field of charge interference. Presently, it is at that point. I will leave many things in the consciousness of Michael Hayes so that he may explain it to you better. Yes. The second circle, or if you want to call it that, it is a image glyph made by our cousins, you might say, artisans. They have given you an image of how our force organizers have been tasked to try to calm all the aspects of the dish. Destructive forces that could impinge upon your planet before we are able to move as many of you that are ready and able to choose a higher realm destiny. This will include both the physical as well as those who through spiritual translation will gain higher Morancho realm. You are at that point, close in time. Be ready. Ideotaractic Charun. It's a farewell for now.
Farewell, Sharon. So nice to hear from you, and glad you're with us. Talk with you again.
Yeah, looks like what he left with me is something he didn't leave with me, but he pointed me towards prior to this conversation that you have had with him. That he did point out in terms of the Book of Revelation, which is a something that is not given to for him to use, but one in which we can use, but it is veiled. What he has done is freely opened a veil and linked some things that have been placed together. If you look at the crop circle that was given, there are two crop circles, they tie into a time point that we are headed straight into right now. And in the Book of Revelation, chapter 7, there is a talk of the 144,000 to be sealed, an indication of the seal. It also indicates having higher angelic or celestial intervention. And these are described in here, and it's here and stated, and this is the, after this I saw four angels. Okay, these four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land. See, look, these are symbolic angels, actually real, but having symbolic of the four winds. There are many winds, primarily winds that have to do with celestial winds, or winds also, solar winds, as well as those that can impinge upon our planet. So basically a shield. And then I saw another angel coming out of the east, the sun comes out from the east, having the seal of living God, called a loud voice, four angels who have been given the power, okay, toward these, who have been given the power to harm the land and the sea, okay? Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants. Well, that's a symbolic thing again, the seal of our God. He's essentially, you know, looking for those who have been enlightened. On the forehead is a point of enlightenment. You know, there was a kind of a funny thing that the Jewish people, and also samurais in Japan did this thing. They have a little box they put on their head. It's right on their forehead. And it's some kind of archaic way. And inside of there was many times some special scripture or writing or wise saying or slogan. Well, anyway, that seal slogan is basically a symbol of an enlightened soul, one in which has been given special knowledge. And it is in their mind, conscious mind. And then this is something that we doing right now in terms of helping engage in purpose on sealing you might say, enlightening you out there. And then I heard of the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, all the tribes of Israel. Now, all the tribes of Israel, there's one tribe that is well known. It's called the Judah. The tribe of Judah, or Jews, unknown. They were part of the southern tribes. The other tribe, which was also faithful, a tribe of Levi, perhaps a little bit of Benjamin, but the rest are lost. They went everywhere around the world. And my research, I found that Manasseh found its way into China and is the primary source of the Japanese people, Manasseh. Because the Shinto faith is really an archaic form of Judaism, or archaic Israeli religion. They point back to the Temple Mount, they point back to many of the things. So, there are others in there that have found their way. There's a black tribe in Africa that has genetic ties to Levi. And they are the ones that supposedly say they have the Ark of the Covenant. In any case, all of these are real physical mortal beings. You know, they're not going to be like translated to the higher morontial state. They just retain their physical nature. It's only really for a seed, you might say. And then, of course, later on in verse 9, there's talk of this great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, holding branches in their hands, palm branches of all things in their hand, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Interestingly enough, palm branches were waved in the entry of Christ into Jerusalem prior to him going through the whole scheme of being crucified, going to the accusation and the whole thing. But this palm branch is a little different. They're not the same kind of living palm branches, but they are ones in which are able to help this multitude understand each other. And verse 11 is interesting. It says, "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, praise, glory, and wisdom, and thanks, and honor, and power, and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." So this is what he saw, able to write down, included all. In other words, they are highly attuned to divinity. And they have a submissive heart to the divine, or the first source and center, and give this glory and back to God, you might say. I'm going to something a little later, maybe one day I might, but one of the approaches is in this way of seeing it visually. So it was put forth that way. So anyway, we're very close to a time which will be of a time which is looking at a interface, a grand interface between the celestials and ourselves. So anyway, this is just a little bit of what he was giving us indications of.
Michael, would you like to comment on that second or these two crop circles?
The two crop circles?
The one looks like Ison from that video, the first one, the trails. But the second one is very, very unusual. Telling a story, I don't know what the story is. It's uniform the way those spheres come off that large sphere to the right, the one that looks like a nut.
Yeah. I think that was the one he was kind of looking at. That has to do with... wait a minute, I can't quite get it here. Yeah. Okay, the first one is ISIN's, looks very much like ISIN, and one of the, there's some images that were placed in that YouTube video together. This is an expression of the interactive field that it is taking right now. ISIN is highly charged, and it is reacting in a known manner. Especially that known manner is only known by those that understand wave interaction, charged particle interaction, plasma roles. So it's forming this type of interaction as it moves physically into the field. The second crop circle is really about how the Master Force organizers are really working on essentially like targeting energy experiences, looks like. And these are broken down into interactions and localities as it penetrates deeper. Toward the sun, deeper toward the sun. So
having these fields of food, it's our food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're literally drawing these symbols in our food.
Well, one of the characteristics about the celestial artisan types, they love to work with living material.
Mm.
You know, although they can probably work with other material, but they love to work with living material as perhaps their canvas. So anyway, that's a little bit of comment on that. But the first one definitely has the expression that Comet ISIN is taking on right now. It does show the fact that there are more than one particle or part in the actual nucleus. And this is supposed to be, you know, happening right now. There's a couple of, but they're tied together very closely by dynamic interaction of various but similar dynamic forces, static forces, static electrical forces, electronic forces, plasma forces, interactions.
This first one that represents Comet ISIN, that mm-hmm. the sphere, well, it's pointed in the middle from in the very front. That could be the comet itself, but the sphere just behind it. I'm not referring to the sphere all the way at the end, which is a very interesting thing. That is like at the end of that long center tail.
By the way, the tail of comet has extended itself out millions of miles.
Mm.
And it's been one of the more recent observations is that it has taken on about 7 or 8 tails right now, streaking out of the coma.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the observations are coming up with the exact image you're looking at right now in the crop circle. Yeah.
I know. We all know it's a kind of a silly name for these things, because they started out as just circles.
Yeah.
3-5 circles in a row, and then they just got more and more involved, and now they're telling us these stories that we are fascinated just to look at them, but they should be in the news. Mainstream news. Could you imagine them? Well, here's the symbols that were put in our crops. Sort of like me feeding my cats alphabet soup and spelling out letters to them.
You know why?
Can you imagine?
You know why much of this is not going out through mainstream news? Because one of the more important factors that the celestials are looking for are not our consciousness turned by news articles or propaganda, but our attunement inwardly to a divinity. And by that, there we'll be driven by spiritual forces, which is one of them. A simpler one would be called the Holy Spirit. Spiritual forces to discover much more. And these are some of the things that you can uncover. So thank you, Kathleen, for bringing up that this couple of images, as well as the YouTube. But there's more YouTubes out there that people are taking images. They're not really, you know, saying what they really mean, but they do show interaction at a level in which no comment has ever been observed before. It's unique and special in that uniqueness. So there's more to come. But it really is, from what I gather from the Sharun, is that they're talking about this real interface coming. And it's something very, very important in terms of a planetary ascension process.
So this comet, this ISON, where is this comet right now, on the 19th of November?
Seems to be still moving toward the sun past, you know, it's, I think, come into play between, Mars and it's already past that, directly in between Mars and Mercury, but it's past Mars, should be observable already in the morning sky, but I haven't taken a look because it has been too cloudy.
So Kathleen said this first image of ISON in the what is known as crop circles was done in 2009.
Yeah, it's a warning of what. So what do you think when the celestial agents or artisans, and they're doodling around, want to give us a hint of an important time? Nella told me the important time was going to be closely linked to my birth date, or something that I would never have to worry about remembering. And it's gone and passed. And the whole thing is that this is all related to this time period. Today's the Sharun gave us a link in terms of moving back into the Book of Revelation, which is another warning about a particular time and choosing period, also a period in which there will be a prevention of absolute devastation to a planet, and preventing such a thing until everything is in place and readied for this. Perhaps, if necessary, I don't know, but they're pointing at it. A rescue mission, or this one important point of, you might call it a harvest.
So do you think this harvest has anything to do with this comet?
I think the comet has something to do with it, and could be a warning or a marker in time? Not sure, but we have to watch. And not just the term in religious circles or Christian circles, to watch and pray. So what we are doing, and I believe there's a lot of people out there who really realize that when they look and watch with real scientific eyes, realize we look at the actual observation of all the truly observable things in our domain, our reality, as well as those things which are included in non-reality, where it has to do with not so much the physical reality, but the more reality of intellectual understanding, human emotional balance, as well as, you know, so some of these emotional balances are affecting people who are getting out of balance. They're getting scared, uneasy. Others are looking at entire peoples as being out of balance with each other. You get people blaming whole countries at war or semi-war or a terrible engagement. I mean, planetary imbalances. But you also, at the same time of engaging correctly with truly a good heart in terms of helping out. Let's say the Philippines has gone through a lot. So, anyway, this is pointing toward a very special time. And this time, by the way, is not the second coming of Christ. It has to do with more of the interface in terms of the celestial mission, so mission of bringing our planet up to the next level. Mm-hmm. The next level, inclusive of understanding, hey, we're not alone. Be more global in our understanding.
Well, most people feel we're not alone.
Yeah, which is not the case it always was. Because those that want to rule, they want to keep their power structure in place. And those include all kinds of power structures, including religious power structures.
Well, you would think these beautiful symbols in the crops are enough to push the people who don't believe, or who believe we are alone, to believe that we are not alone, and to decipher what these symbols mean in our food or in the crops. Mm-hmm. They are so magnificent and so gorgeous and so perfectly made that how could Doug and Dave with a board ever do this? Actually, that Doug and Dave who said they were doing this, that was one thing when they were just simple little circles in the field. But then they were appearing in many parts of the world, not just England, and then they just started getting so extremely large, and like that spiral, there was this one famous one, I don't know what year it was, a few years ago, it was right next to Stonehenge. This pilot flew over Stonehenge, he took a picture of Stonehenge, and he landed, did a few things, and then on his trip back, there were these 900 spheres in the crops in a huge spiral. I'm sure people have seen you. I don't have the image in front of me, and I don't know what year it was done, but it wasn't there 1 minute, and boom, it was there.
Yeah, that's. I think that was the. There was somebody else in the plane with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tourist or something.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, was a tourist is the one that spotted it. So it wasn't there before. I think it just spun around. But anyway.
I mean, how much proof do people need?
Well, it's not so much.
And it would be nice if we could decipher these and then find out if we decipher them correctly or incorrectly.
Yeah.
Like, what does this one mean? Or the second one that Kathleen sent. I'll have these two images on the listen page.
In the book of Revelation, it's like talking about these angels that come around and hold the four winds and stuff, and other ones have the power to hurt the land and whatever, the trees and stuff. They're told not to harm it. So how does that happen? To hold back, you know, the problems. So could very well, you know, be showing the interaction between the celestial engagement helping us, or the whole program of our planetary reality existence to ascend up higher and make sure that we don't get trampled ahead of time. Because in the book of Revelation, after chapter 7, it doesn't look nice for the rest of the people on earth.
Oh.
It looks pretty sad, actually. Like, you really get beat up. You know. The next one talks about, remember I mentioned to you about this seventh seal. Opens and there's silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. And I was talking about how that really is, why would they talk about in heaven? Why silence in heaven? Because much of our communication, everything, you know, I just got, you know, satellite TV, you know, things even for our entertainment comes in from the heavens. The shutdown of the system of satellites would be to protect them from a solar blast or a coronal mass ejection headed our way, which apparently could very well be triggered by the comet Ison or the other comets engaging or moving along with it because of the combination of their forces. Right now, Comet Ison presently has gotten a direct hit from a X flare going its way. So it has again been charged up for more activity. And so after this time of these things that happen in the next event, we talk about it, the seventh seal opening. It starts off with the silence in heaven. You know, and then thunderings, rumblings, flashes, lightnings, earthquakes, all of these things start to happen.
Silence.
Oh boy. Yeah, it was like all of a sudden angels stop talking. No. It's not that. It's our literal engagement with our technology in heavens, which is all the satellites turned off. They'll go in protection mode. Because when it shuts down, there's a much better chance that the electromagnetic influences. It could be a pulse or just blasts by charged particles would not necessarily destroy the electronics because it's not on, it's turned mm-hmm. off.
And who would be shutting these off?
Probably space weather would warn, and everybody who owns satellites said, shut them down, because we don't want them burnt up.
Oh, I see. So we would shut them down ourselves.
Right. Yeah, that's why for a space of a half an hour, because then they'll turn back on again, you know. So the indication after that, you get all kinds of problems. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then there's this one that the very spooky-looking thing, and it says in the fourth, the fifth verse, it says, then the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and hurled it to earth. There came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes, lightning, and an earthquake. Also talked about an earthquake that has never been. So far, earthquake in Japan was nearly a 9. If there's an earthquake that's higher than that, whoa, my goodness. You know, that's, you know, never would really cause a lot of problems. And then it goes on. And it also says in the 13th verse, it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the blast, the trumpet blast. So, sounds like we could very well be in that position of time, especially since the Sharun actually said he could speak freely. Not telling us about the time or the hour of this actual happening. 144,000, but there is a time in which people get sealed. You know, they martyr. I am one of the sealed. I say that without any reservation. I am one of the sealed servants. Yeah, because I was told in the New Jerusalem, I have a place back there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there will be many who will not need to. The program, their life program, their destiny does not include interface in requiring the body, the physical. They will inherit the Marantia body estate. It's essentially the one that traverses space and mm-hmm. time. Yeah, and it's like the next level up. So, and there are 7 more levels above it.
Well, for the listeners who would like to see if they could see this comet, Ison, which direction should they be looking in? So early morning, looking toward the east?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right now, you don't have much time, but before it gets engaged in the sun. So probably try to start a couple hours before sunrise. Locate Mars. And look to the, once you locate Mars, look to the left, lower left of Mars. And you will see, with the aid of binoculars, probably, Ison.
All right.
After it goes around the sun, this is the scary part. What will it be like? You know, will it be... Because right now, the tail of Ison has extended itself out over 4 million miles, which is long. And it's probably going to extend itself even further. What does that image of the crop circle show you? Well, it shows you the coma, the charged nodes. This is a particularly highly charged point. which is a part of a plasma phenomenon. Now, that more than tells you that ISIN is highly charged and plasma physics are functioning. It's also showing something in tow. So this is something that we don't see. We already know that perhaps there is more than one nuclear body, but is that something in tow? And it's being told because it has a energetic relationship back to the core. And so that's something that the tail part may be indicative of the object being much further out than we think, millions of miles behind it. And that's scary. If that happens to be one that will impinge upon the planet with real hard particles, then of course that second part of the golden sensor being thrown to the earth and all kinds of thunders and lightnings and earthquakes and rumblings and flashes and all of this stuff happens, you know.
So it's almost right upon us. It's
yeah. Almost right upon us. But don't forget your bubble now. They gave you a bubble once, they'll give you a bubble again.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
They'll give everybody who is attuned according to their promise. Yeah, that's their job.
Oh.
They're actually given a hard task to do, which is to protect these chosen ones. And then there are two groups. One, of course, I'm included in the first group, but there's others that are included in the innumerable group. And then, you know, that's our planetary population is somewhere in the neighborhood of what? 7 billion people?
Yes, close to 7 billion.
Yeah. And those that are attuned, in the billions probably.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Sharon. This was a very interesting recording, for sure, once again. Mm-hmm. I hope to see ISON with my binoculars. I don't have good binoculars, but I have a pair.
Better than nothing.
And I am awake before the sun comes up.
Okay.
So
try to go locate Mars when you can.
Okay. And look to the lower left of Mars.
Yeah, kind of at about, if you look at Mars as from Mars being the center of the clock, try to look maybe toward 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, now with the digital, people would want, hi. I think we still know how to read a clock face.
We know how to read a clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're of that time error. Well, I don't know whether I want to announce this or not, but I just want to say Alex Jones is a self-made reporter, has his own show called Infowars.com, and he's going to be in Dallas during this 50th anniversary of the killing of our president. And he recently had on, just yesterday, he had on James Teague, T-A-G-U-E, who wrote a book called LBJ and the Kennedy Killing. Actually, he was one of the three people who was injured that day. JFK was critically injured, mortally injured. And then Jesse Ventura's book, They Killed Our President. But it's during my lifetime. I was in 11th grade English class when they came in and announced that. So Alex Jones is going to be on the street, and for those who don't listen to Infowars.com. It's interesting, different than Michael kind of interesting, and Sharon, but... Well, aloha, Michael.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.